What up and welcome to Designated Reports Boxing Podcast. You already know what it is. My name is Louie. That's Gene. We're your hosts.
Yo.
What up, boy?
What's good, man? How you feeling?
You know, last night was a pretty good night for boxing. But before we get into some shit, because there's a lot of things that went down last night.
Word.
I want to go back to episode 22 just to kind of like piggyback off some stuff we were talking about. Mm-hmm. So you had asked me, was there any movies filmed in Gleason's boxing gym?
Yeah.
Just to give you a few. Raging Bull.
Okay.
Million Dollar Baby, like I said.
Classic.
And then also, I think the first Rocky. According to Google.
Okay.
Just to go ahead and, like, you know, piggyback off of episode 22. Talking about movies, last night was a motherfucking movie for boxing.
Movie.
Because there was three knockouts amongst two superstars and one guy who was a top prospect in that 154 division. So let's kick off with Erickson Lubin, mm-hmm. don't want to fuck up his name, versus Jason
Rosario.
Yes. All right, a lot of names to remember here.
Yep.
So Erickson Lubin, mm-hmm. made that shit right. He was a top guy at 154, ended up fighting with the Charlo brothers,
mm-hmm.
I think Jermell.
Jermell, yeah.
Right.
Jermell.
Ended up getting knockout, kind of slowed down his career. He's building his way back up, 6 wins in a row. Mm-hmm. They're both fighting pretty much to get that to get back in the ring with Charlo. What did you think about the fight, and what did Lubin do to impress you?
I think he answered like all the questions that they had leading up to that. You just said that he fought 6 times. He's victorious in all 6, and he was banging in that ring. But the bigger thing is I think he might need one more fight before he gets another Charlo fight. I just don't want to throw him back in there as of right now.
Yeah, I think that what I liked was he was really composed.
Okay.
Rosario is known for being a big puncher.
Mm-hmm.
Being that he's been knocked out before, I wanted to see how he handled himself with a top prospect. Because I believe Rosario ended up beating J-Rock?
Okay.
Who ended up stealing the belt from this guy, Jarrett Hurd, mm-hmm. if you remember, right?
That was a classic fight.
Right, yeah, exactly right. So I wanted to see how he handled... you know, kind of a spotlight position too, because it was a co-main event. You know what I mean, for the Davis
Barrios
fight. You know what I mean. So there was a lot on the line for Lubin. I thought he showed up. The moment wasn't too big for him.
But why are we still calling him a prospect, though?
Well, I mean, because it's until you show you're a contender and one of those top guys. You know, that's what they call you, a prospect. Mm-hmm. I think after this fight, you know, given that he probably only has, like you said, maybe one more fight before he can go back to get that Charlo fight. You know, he certainly looks like a contender. I like that he boxed and then, you know, he did get hurt. He was basically pretty much in control through the third or fourth round.
Yeah, he got tagged a little bit.
He got tagged like the fifth or sixth. He came back to the corner. The corner's like, look, you cannot, you know, be stupid with this guy.
Yeah, that's the nature of the game nowadays, right? Is how do you react during adversity? And like you said, when he got tagged, he came back and he did his thing.
Got back to the game plan, and then he ended up stopping the guy later in the fight, maybe mm-hmm. the eighth or ninth, something like that.
But you know, you're knocking on the boogeyman's door, so if you want that Charlo, fight.
But he's a prospect that, like, you know, or contender, you know, that we actually haven't talked too much about, but he's a solid guy.
Yeah, I mean, the 154 division is jam-packed right now. Yeah. So everyone's still kind of jockeying for position. But just from everything that we saw last night, he's definitely ready or on his way there.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so let's move into the bigger fights.
Woo!
I think we should go with Lomachenko first.
Oh, my God.
Just because it did start before. yeah, Lomachenko.
Yeah.
Before this fight even happened, because if you look at Nakatani, he had a really impressive fight against Teofimo Lopez.
Yes.
A lot of people were like, you know, I don't want to say writing Teofimo off, but they were calling him a hype train.
Yep.
Then he fought this this Puerto Rican dude, forgetting his name, where he ended up being dropped two or three times, stayed in the fight, stuck to his game plan, ended up getting the guy out of there.
That was one of the first fights during COVID.
Right.
Or post-COVID.
Yeah, you and I both watched, we're texting. So I thought he had the resiliency, the heart,
mm-hmm.
and some of the skill set to beat Lomachenko.
Yes.
Boy, was I motherfucking wrong.
We were both wrong.
Yo, listen, like, it wasn't even competitive in a sense.
Boxing clinic.
Yeah, the angles, the defense. And the thing is, Nakatani is so much longer.
Mm-hmm.
Lomachenko was still able to walk him down, make a miss, get inside, and hit him with the angles that he normally does,
So let's examine all angles of this fight, right? Okay. Do you think that Nakatani's corner didn't do him a favor? Because for the life of me, right, and we'll get into that for the next fight, when you have these clear advantages, why don't fighters want to stick to that game plan? Like, you're the taller guy, you have a longer reach, and you do have power, right? And based off his fight against Teofimo Lopez, we know that he's able to use those three aspects. Why didn't he bring it to this fight?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that, like, you know, sometimes you have a game plan and it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And if you can't make adjustments while you're in the fight, shit happens, right? So I seen him trying to use his length. But mm-hmm. one of the things that I saw was his timing, especially with his leg punch and jab, was always the same.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the same time, right? Same time. You cannot have the same rhythm versus a timing fighter like Lomachenko, because mm-hmm. once he times you,
is right.
you're done, right? And the fact that he was only sticking one jab out there and he's trying to stick a long jab, trying to keep him away, Lomachenko's going to figure out how to get inside of that.
Mm-hmm. Which he did.
And by the time that happened, it's already too late.
Yo, you know it's a crazy fight when Nakatani's best hit was an accidental headbutt.
Right. Yeah, and that was like the first round.
Right.
Yeah,
had him leaking.
Yeah, you which know? I was like, oh, man, because I didn't know where it was, so mm-hmm. obviously that could be, you
know. Yo, shout out to his corner, because they control that. It was a big gash.
Yeah, and
they
controlled right on top of the forehead.
Quick. But when you go back, like, literally that was the biggest hit for Nakatani the whole fight, man.
Which talks about Lomachenko's defensive skill set, right? Like, you know, it's almost like, yo, where was this guy? Where was
Thank
this Lomachenko versus Lopez?
Thank you.
I think I saw a stat where, like, in the first two rounds versus Lopez, Lomachenko only threw 16 punches. That's 8 punches a round.
Yes.
Going into this fight, after the second round, I think he threw like 40. So he almost doubled his punch count. You know what I mean? So where was that aggression when he was fighting Lopez? But to go back to the point of, like, yo, sometimes you get in the ring with a guy and you're like, it's different.
But Lopez power is for real, though.
That's what it's different.
He's, Lopez power is for real. It's different. You just can't.
But
yeah.
A lot of people talk about power, but the other part of it is being explosive.
Yes.
Meaning being able to hit a guy with a punch
mm-hmm.
from almost
nowhere. Closing the distance.
Right. Like, yeah. And we've seen it with Tank.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We'll get to that. But
And Teofimo, too. Another thing is, like, when he's in there, he doesn't fear you.
Yeah.
Right. Like, when you're fighting someone and you know at the end of the day, even if you're super nice, if that other guy doesn't fear you, it's going to be in the back of your head like, okay, I might have to try something different because this young lion ain't shook.
Yeah, no, that's, you know? That's
100. But kudos to that window, man. That was a ass-whooping boxing clinic. That was a show.
Yeah, nah, like, he basically was like, listen, y'all must have forgot. He was on the one joke.
I forgot.
Yeah, because, you know, before the fight, we'll get into it because I want to touch the Tank fight. You know, there's a couple things that we talked about. I was like, well, Lomachenko, maybe he shouldn't do this, da da da.
Uh-huh.
But we'll come back to that when we talk about some matchups, potentially.
But you know, before we even switch, I like that he kind of redeemed himself in the sense of, dude, you had mad excuses for why Teofimo beat
you. Yo, ESPN did a 30-minute special on Lomachenko's excuses.
Right.
That shit was funny because, yo, he had excuses. I went back and I watched the fight. I watched it again. And if anything, like, I won the fight.
Because you know who he sounds like?
Deontay Wilder.
Yeah, we all getting on Wilder.
Right.
Because, I mean, look, Wilder's excuses were just unbelievable,
bro.
Like, my suit, my water, somebody spiked, like, the gloves.
He was on his coach.
He was on his coach.
Like,
you know, but Lomachenko had a lot of excuses, but last night he just went out and said, fuck it. I'm a box. I'm going to show y'all I'm a great boxer.
Yeah.
And we going to do this.
That's exactly what he did.
You know?
All right. So let's go ahead and segue into, what a hell of a fight.
Woo!
Gervonta Tank Davis.
Tank Davis,
versus,
baby.
Mario Barrios, which was impressive across the board in the simple sense that, like, Barrios started off with a boxing mentality, trying to use his
mm-hmm.
distance, his
mm-hmm.
length. Shout out to Virgil Hunter, who's an amazing coach,
mm-hmm.
Andre Ward's coach. So he definitely had him prepared. But over time, you know what I mean? If you don't hurt Tank, if you don't show him something that, like, he has to be fearful of,
yeah.
once he kind of gets your rhythm down yeah. and he understands that you can't hurt him, that boy's walking you down and he's loading the fuck up.
I feel like even if you do hurt him or you throw that punch and he knows that you have it, he doesn't care. He's going to walk forward, right? Yo, moving forward, put some respect on Gervonta Davis' name out here.
And his chin. Because that boy be...
Thank you,
he be
bro.
Taking a round chin, just keep it pushing. You know
Oscar,
what I mean?
I think it was either Oscar De La Hoya or Teddy Atlas that says, hey, you guys don't give Tank credit for being a smart fighter.
Yeah.
Because he's actually smart in that ring, you know? Like, everyone looks at the power because that's the flashiness that we love. But you can see, remember that one round where he was just baiting,
yeah, he took the jab away.
So he adjusted, right? And I love how his corner keeps it real with him, like Floyd Mayweather,
right?
Who said, like, yo, you're losing the fight.
Show me you're great.
Show me that you're great. Huge. You know, and he listened to that, and he knew what he had to do, and he put on all the horses. But, yo, give this kid his respect, you know? Even I went on online just to see what the realm of boxing is doing. People's like, oh, Mario Barrios wasn't that good of a fighter. First of all, he impressed the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Mario showed up, right? And he wanted to win, and it was close. And if Tank didn't pull out that last knockdown, it would have probably been a draw.
It could have been close, you know, certainly, because like you said, when he came back to that, to the corner, and Floyd was like, yo, unofficially, you're actually down.
And he was.
You know what I mean? Because those, maybe the first four rounds, Barrios controlled everything.
Easily.
With his length. And, but that's going back to your point, like, he was, Tank was setting things up for later in the fight.
He was.
He was slowly taking away the jab by parrying and keeping his hand out there. And then when it did shoot in, he was trying to shoot the cross, trying to shoot the 1-2, slip outside. And once he started getting that, started going to the body and then to the head. I mean, when a guy punches like that, with that type of explosiveness, and you don't know where it's coming from, you get hit with a shot you don't see, with power like that, you're going to go down.
And you made a great point, right? Because I'm always like, to me, what separates fighters, when you have your opponent hurt, I always want you to get him out of there. Don't leave it up to chance. But what you said is, Tank is smart because he is hunting him down, but he's not being stupid about it because he's still respecting Barrios' power, right?
And his skill, because and you also don't want to punch yourself out.
Exactly.
Because you know this dude got a heart.
Yeah.
He was going to keep getting up.
Facts.
And the referee actually stopped the fight. Barrios was ready to keep going.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
he was ready to go out on the shield.
Yeah.
You know?
But that was a great point that you pulled up, that he, you know, he wasn't rushing and he was taking it because he knew at that point he had him. But let me just pick my spots, where to attack the body, when to go to the head, and then eventually I'll get him out of there. So in retrospect, like, okay, use your smarts, use your wits, and everything will fall into line, man. So
yeah, I think, you know, what I saw from Tank last night was, it was truly his boxing IQ. This guy is 6 inches taller than you.
Facts.
He can box. He has good defense. And you know he can throw punches and bunches and get you out of there.
Yo.
So for you to set things up, be patient, be okay with losing some rounds and not necessarily feel the pressure, like, that's boxing IQ. Changing things up as you go, you know what I mean? Taking away the jab, like, I mean, that was a boxing masterclass with the excitement that we all want.
You know what? I think pairing two boxers and picking who's going to win the fight based on height, we need to start throwing that out the window now, because I done seen little dudes fuck up these big dudes. Yeah, I done seen Canelo fuck up Callum Smith, who was 6'5", right?
Yep.
Like, to me, that goes out the window. Is what do you bring with your boxing IQ when you're facing adversity, when to use your power, when to kind of take the first few rounds off? And Tank does it. Canelo always does it. You know, so kudos to
that. One of the things that I say is this, is like, okay, well, yeah, this guy's 5 inches taller than you, but you're 5 inches shorter than him, but weigh the same
weight.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
that's different.
Yep. It's not like he was above 80.
That's what I'm saying, right? So you're more compact. You're a little bit, you probably have more power.
Yep.
So everybody's talking about the height. And I tweeted it. I was like, yeah, you could say that this dude's 5 inches taller than Tank, but Tank's also the same weight as this dude that's 5 inches taller than him.
All right. That's
what I'm saying. Yeah. So you're more of a compact fighter in that sense. So you should be able to take more punches. Also, the idea behind that is you probably should have a little bit more power.
All right. Biggest question of this podcast. We're halfway into the year. Was this the fight of the year? Because I'm going with yes.
Oh man, I'm gonna say yes, just off the top of my head. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure if I went back to January, maybe, but yeah, man, like, easily right now with the excitement. The skill set. I mean, the crowd was in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Floyd's chain gang was just insane. You know what I'm saying?
Heavy, like, 40 mil on the neck.
You know, came out with the baby.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it was a good show all around. And then the fight was, you know, lived up to
it.
It was like some movie type shit.
Yeah, man. It definitely lived up to it, man. But again, shout out to Mario Barrios, man. Like,
yeah, he definitely gained the fan.
Yo, I'm a fan now. I'm gonna be looking out from, and he was undefeated too.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And he's only 26 years old, so you know that, like,
you
know, he's gonna be certainly in the mix at that 140 weight class. Be interested to see how he bounces back. talking about, like, you know, him bouncing back, there is a number of fights that can be made from 130 mm-hmm. to 140. Obviously, you have Teofimo Lopez, you have Tank, you have Shakur Stevenson, you have Devin Haney, you mm-hmm. have Ryan Garcia, you have Josh Taylor. Those yes. are just to name a few.
Yes, yes.
Right? So, coming off of this weekend with Lomachenko and Tank, like, give me three or four fights that you would like to see within those, you know, those three divisions, because it's 130, 135, 140.
I think after last night, there's two fights that have to be made, right? Teofimo Lopez and Lomachenko, the rematch.
Two, which we got some, we actually got some good, you know, I'll say some good info after mm-hmm. the fight with Bob Arum speaking to Teofimo Sr.
Yeah.
Where Teofimo Sr. was like, yo, this performance, honestly, we weren't even looking at Lomachenko, but based off of this performance, he was like, I know it's enough for me and probably my son. And they were like, yo, maybe we can get it done in December at Madison Square Garden.
Why not?
Insane.
Because of this performance last night?
Insane.
If he didn't perform well, I would have been like, dude, you're not getting a rematch, move on. But he was dominant, man. And he's and he's still a great fighter.
Yep.
Two different contrasts of style. You know, Teofimo just got to get through his fight.
Yep.
Make it again.
Yeah, no doubt. Right. And one of the things that I was saying, because I was like, yo, if... Because you were talking about maybe fighting like a guy like Shakur Stevenson,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe trying to get back up that way. And I was like, man, I don't see Shakur taking that fight because style makes fights. They're two defensive fighters,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think either one of them would be impressive, or either one of them would win impressively.
Yeah.
Needless to say, that did not even need to happen
because
of what Lomachenko did last night. So I absolutely agree that the Lomachenko Teofimo Lopez 2 would be a huge fight, especially in Madison Square Garden.
And let's be real, they're about the bag. This is the biggest fight that can be made.
And Arum, Bob Arum said last night, he was like, you know, as long as they're compensated, they're both in.
Facts. And then Bob Arum could, you know, build his house in Malibu that he's been bitching about.
Right, exactly.
From you know, Terrence Crawford not building a fight.
Yo, so Bob Arum, where's that energy with Terrence Crawford?
Yeah, right? Like, now you can build your Malibu house, bro. Right.
Terrence Crawford is really that dude, you know what I'm saying?
All right, so now let's flip over to Tank. Who do you think is in the running to fight Tank?
Man, you know what? Like, you want to throw the name Teofimo Lopez out there, right?
Yeah.
But with the setup...
That's on the back burner.
With the setup with Lomachenko, I feel like that's off the table.
Okay.
With Tank, though, you know, I think if that Terrence Crawford fight doesn't happen with Josh Taylor at 140,
mm-hmm.
I mean, yo, Tank Davis with a... with a British star,
mm-hmm.
that would be a mega fight. You know what I'm saying? Like a mega fight. So,
wow, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
So Terrence Crawford would go down to 140.
I don't know if it'd be a catch weight. I don't know if you know if Taylor would come up. But we both know that they were talking about a potential Terrence Crawford Josh Taylor fight.
Nah, all right. So not to get too deep into it. I don't think that Terrence Crawford and Taylor fight is going to happen because...
I don't think it should.
Spence came out and said, after the Pac-Man fight, if I don't get Terrence Crawford, that fight is not going to be made and I'm moving up.
Right.
So they need to angle that Spence and Crawford fight.
That's a good point.
I'm saying
that's the first time Spence came out and said something about like actually being definitive and being interested.
Facts.
Before he was like, oh, it's a 70-30 split.
Yeah.
And at that point, we knew he was actually chasing the biggest fight,
mm-hmm.
which was Manny Pacquiao, mm-hmm. potentially even Canelo Alvarez. So, you know, from a business standpoint, you know, Spence was on his shit. So, you know, shout out to him. But yeah, man, like, you know, I don't know who the Terrence Crawford is going to fight next. I think they have somebody slated, some no-name dude, and I don't want to be disrespectful, but at the same time, if he's not a top fighter, he's not a top fighter.
Yeah.
Whose
career, if Terrence Crawford stays on this trajectory, who does he remind you of in terms of not getting the big fights? It kind of reminds me of, remember Winky Wright, who was like, at the top of his level, but he wasn't necessarily getting the big fights. I think he only got, what, Tito Trinidad?
I think later on he ended up getting a couple big fights. Yo, shout out to you for bringing up Winky Wright.
Yeah.
For a minute there, he dominated like he was pound for pound the top mm-hmm. dude for maybe like 2 or 3 years. I think at that 154 division. I'm going to go a little bit older, old school, just because this guy also switched back and forth from stances.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up, I guess, branding himself as an orthodox fighter because nobody would fight him in a southpaw. And that's Marvin Hagler.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, so I would compare it to him just because of their fight style and how dangerous they are.
Yeah.
But, you know, with, I don't, like I said, I don't know who Terrence Crawford is fighting next, but if that Spence fight is, you know, if that Spence fight is pretty much a guarantee after Pacquiao, win, lose, or draw.
Yeah.
If I'm Terrence Crawford, I'm gonna get a sharp opponent, stay ready, and just look forward to that fight, man.
Yeah, because Spence fight is in August against Pac-Man.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, I mean, I would assume later in the year, December or January, that they would make that fight happen. But let's make the fight happen, man.
Yeah, no doubt. So just real quick before we wrap it up, like in that 130, 135, 140, outside of Lomachenko, Teofimo Lopez, and Tank, what's a couple of fights or fighters that you would like to see what's going on next with them? I mean, between those three weight classes, man, there's a ton of potential.
Well, the two young guns, man. I know Ryan Garcia's been taking a break.
Yeah.
Everyone's still bitching about Devin Haney's performance for whatever reason I can't understand.
Yeah.
Made that fight happen.
I mean, I would love to see it. I think it's too early. I don't think either one of them.
Come on, man. I don't. When people say it's too early, I think that's the old school way of thinking in boxing. I feel like if the money is right and the circumstances right, these young dudes want to get it on. Because, all right, if you're saying it's too early on their career, man, like, who else are they going to fight? Yeah. You can't fool the audience. We have too many options in terms of streaming. Like, last night, for example, there was a basketball game on. There was two boxing fights on. There was versus Bow Wow and Soulja Boy. Shout out to Soulja Boy. We have too many options. So you're not going to keep on giving us Devin Haney versus Joe Schmo from Florida. You feel me? At some point, these fights have to be made. And they're young enough where... And they're young enough, and there's a lot of people in these divisions, great fighters in these divisions, that within the next year or so, they're going to have to make these fights.
Yeah, man. Look, I think that these guys have had the headlines for certainly the last 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. But if you go a little bit deeper, you got Oscar Valdez.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, against Shakur.
Right. You got Josh Taylor, obviously, is a guy we've thrown in the mix lately. Mm-hmm. Because now he has all four belts, I believe, at that weight class. There's an up-and-coming guy, I think, out of Brooklyn by the name of Stephon Fulton.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So there's definitely some other guys that we just aren't really talking about because these guys, we got like five potential superstars in that 130, 140 division.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they're stealing a lot of the limelight, but there's actually some really dope fighters that we don't even get a chance to talk about.
That's facts.
You know, so they can certainly build their way up with some you know, top level competition. Maybe just not the name is, you know, behind the competition. Yeah. All right, so this is episode 23. Obviously, it was a great weekend of boxing.
Great weekend of boxing.
Gene, let them know where they can catch us. You know the deal.
Yes, you can get all our videos on YouTube under the Designated Report YouTube channel. And for the audio version, you can find it on streaming platforms, Spotify, Anchor, Apple, and SoundCloud. All right, so like, subscribe, throw us some comments. Let us know what you like. You know, we always respond back. We love interacting with you guys. And we got more content on the way.
Peace.
Peace.